Well, good evening once again, and welcome to our study. Welcome to our study of the book of Malachi. I welcome you, each one, to these studies, and they've been such a blessing to me. And I just hope and pray that some of that will be able to go out through this recording device and into your ears, and you'll be blessed too. We're going to be in the book of Malachi, chapter 4. And we're going to be looking here at verse 2 again. There's so much in this wonderful verse of Scripture. We've noticed there that unto you that fear my name, and truly the only people that ever truly, truly reverence or fear the name of the Lord are those that he has regenerated. It's not out of a fear of being caught over sin, but it is a reverence, a respect for all that he's done on our behalf, and that he is the sum and substance of all our salvation. He is the sum and substance of all our righteousness, and he's the sum and substance of all our hope and peace, that everything is in him. And those that fear my name, he says, shall the Son of Righteousness arise. And that's it's a growing thing, that this wonderful blessing of salvation is a growing thing. We never come to the complete understanding of it. There is more and more. It's launch out into the deep, the Lord said to his disciples there on a fishing boat. And we find out that that truly is a statement that could be made about looking into the blessings and benefits of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to understand one more of those every spiritual blessings. And we just never come to the end. It's always rising. It's always rising. It's always getting larger. The Lord never turns out to be less than we thought. He's always more. And what a blessing that is. Shall fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise, growing, larger, bigger. We find out that he's greater than we ever anticipated. He's does more, says more, has more in the meanings of his words, and on it goes as we are privileged to study his word. And then it says here, he has healing. He will arise with healing in his wings, and he has the ability of taking care of every spiritual disease that we have. Now, sometimes he is pleased to take care of some of the physical frailties that we have, and people have been healed physically, and we thank God for that. But he doesn't always do that. Sometimes we find that he let a person go free and another man was requested to give his life for God. So we just don't understand those. But it's in the hands of God, and he does as he pleases, and it's all for the furtherance of the gospel, and we just thank him for it. We just thank him for it. And then, notice here in the last part of this verse, the last phrase, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. One more way the Lord describes grace and the benefits of grace is found in this verse of Scripture. Those that fear my name shall go forth. They shall grow up as calves of the stall. Those that fear my name, those that I have dealt with, those I've raised from the spiritual dead, those that I've lifted out, I've brought them out of a horrible pit. All of these words that God gives us in his Scriptures to describe what he does on our behalf that we cannot do for ourselves. The first mention of conversion through every day of his glorious salvation, from the very first moment of our conversion, from the very first moment of our salvation, when he gives us that great grace of salvation, he gives us the new birth, from the very first moment of conversion, through every day of his glorious salvation, even until grace presents the saints in glory, Christ is precious and his benefits are marvelous, and we get to see them grow. The benefits and the blessings of the Lord, they grow, as it tells us here, shall grow, go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Very, very good terminology here about those who are specifically cared for. They're not going to be wild cattle. They're not going to be ready to take on anybody that comes into their field. There's nothing more exciting than to be chased over a fence by a cow or a bull. That's right up there for me. I've had it happen several times. I'm glad that it's over, but what a blessing it is to read about, she'll go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, those pets. My dad used to buy bummer calves and bring them home. And you know, after you worked with those calves and after you taught them to suck on a bucket with had a nipple on it, and after a while they would suck it out like going through a straw, they got acquainted with you. And they became pets, and they looked to you, and they were calves of the stall. They were friendly. They weren't out to do you harm. Well, that's what we have here. So from the very first moment of conversion, the Lord allows us to know that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and that He has kept us, and that He has created in us a heart that is from God, and it's friendly towards God, and it's friendly towards God's people, and it isn't bitter and harsh, and we're not always whining about the way things are turning out. I know there's moments. There are moments, but it's not an ongoing thing. It's a blessing to have God do that for us. Would you turn with me over to the Psalms? I don't know how many times we've been in the Psalms when we've been studying this book of Malachi. And also, as we look at the book of Ezra, we've been in the Psalms a lot because there's so much said in here. And I read one time that the psalmists, they gave us the prayers that we wish we could pray. And I think that's so true. But here in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4, 1 through 4, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4, a psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Those benefits that allowed us to be the calves of the stall, to grow up as calves of the stall in a protected environment, to have His hedge about us, to have an environment where we not want for food or water, where we have the water of life gushing out, and we have the bread of life, the Lord Jesus, these water of life and bread of life, or there's no want. We have all, and as we eat, it never runs out. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So we have, forget not all His benefits. It's a constant benefit that the Lord gives to us. He is our benefit, and He has all these benefits to give us. Verse 3, who forgiveth, look at this, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. My goodness, we're calves of the stall. We have been given a wonderful blessing of the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ took care of all our sin debt. He forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, thy spiritual diseases. He's taken care of our mind that was set against Him, and He's given us a mind to love Him. He's taken care of our sight. We can see Him in the Scriptures. He's taken care of our hearing. We can hear Him in the Scriptures. He's taken care of our feeling towards Him. He's taken care of our hands, taken care of our feet. He's taken care of our heart. He's taken care of all of us. Oh, what a blessing it is now to have all these rich benefits and to realize that He and He alone forgiveth all our iniquities. And in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He bought us. He redeemed us. He redeemed sinners. He bought sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace. But think about that. Calves of the stall, raised in His place, fed His food, given His water, and blessed with His blessing. He has a blessed curry comb to go over us with. He has a blessed bath to give to us. He just blesses us with every spiritual blessing. We're just calves of the stall. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. My goodness, we are well treated. We are given so much. And it is the Lord that does that, and not we ourselves. In the 116th Psalm, would you travel there with me? Just go a little bit further here in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 116, and there in verse 12, Psalm 116 and verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? You know, the Lord doesn't want us to trade. We're not trading with God. I'll work and then I'll get benefits. No, we're just calves of the stall, born unto him, and he has taken care of all our needs. Every requirement that God had against us, the Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled with all spiritual blessings. Here it says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's what we do. He gives us his salvation. We are ready to take it when he gives it to us. He's changed our heart. He's given us a new heart. He's given us the new birth. He's raised us from the spiritual dead. And he says, I'll call upon the name of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, as it's in our translation, which is Jehovah. I will call upon the name of the Savior. He is all my salvation. We notice those who give, who are given because of grace only, a fear of God, a reverence for God, are given a Redeemer with the ability to heal all their spiritual diseases and to give us a life of such blessings in Christ. Ye shall go forth and grow up. What a wonderful thought. The Lord declares that his people will go forth and they will grow up as calves of the stall. Well cared for. Oh my goodness, well cared for. We've had all the water and all the food. We have a warm place to be, and that's on the bosom of the Lord Jesus. We have no fear. We come and rest at peace. He says, peace be unto you. I give you my peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So he gives us all spiritual peace. There's no longer any apprehension about wandering off because he has tied us up to him. We're latched to him. We're nailed to a sure place. We're set on a solid rock. So we have all these blessings. The Lord declares that his people will have this going forth and growing up as calves of the stall. Over in the, again in the Psalms, let's look here in Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and verse 12. Let's look there in Psalm 92 and verse 12. As we think about these, the Lord will give us as calves of the stall. Those who fear the Lord, he will arise with healing in his wings. We're like calves of the stall, going forth and growing up of calves of the stall. And here in Psalm 92 and verse 12, Psalm 92 and verse 12, we read these words, 12, 13, and 14. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. My goodness, we're like calves of the stall. It doesn't matter here when we put on spiritual weight, but we're still not proud about it because it's the Lord that gives us that. We don't have pride in what the Lord gives us. We're thankful for what the Lord gives us. We're not going to be proud that we know something that someone else doesn't, because it all comes by revelation. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that he plant, that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Just like we read about these folks here. The elect, the saved ones, those that have a respect and a reverence for God that he gave to them when he gave them a new heart and regeneration. These calves of the stall, they're planted in the house of the Lord, and they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. My goodness, calves of the stall, they're prime. They're just prime because they're the Lord's calves. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. How blessed is that? How blessed is that? They shall not hunger or thirst, we read. These calves of the stall, they shall not hunger, they shall not thirst. But we're just thankful for what the Lord gives us. We're just thankful that the Lord would be interested in us. We're just thankful because we had nothing in ourselves that would draw us aside for any of these things. Calves of the stall, as tame and not wild. The Bible tells us that man be born like a wild ass's colt, without control, just wild, running wild. And, you know, here in America, we have some wild horses and wild donkeys out here in the western parts of the United States. And my wife, Nancy, and I have seen them out there in Nevada, and they're just running free. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to try to break one of those animals. To even be friendly, to be able to be ridden, is just it takes a lot. And man be born like a wild ass's colt, and yet the Lord demonstrates his taming grace. That's what we are, calves of the stall, not wild, not wild. Oh, we're by nature, we're wild. We're wild longhorns of Texas. We're wild cattle of there in Europe. They have a wild cow. I've seen pictures and watched a film of some cows down in New Zealand, bulls in New Zealand. They're wild. They'll take you off a horse if they get a chance. Put men up in trees. They're just wild. They are unapproachable. And where I grew up down there in extreme northern California, they used to put the cattle out there in the national forest. And if you were out there walking around and you saw, you know, they'd just take off. And if they didn't, you better find a place to hide, because this old cow, this bull, is just ready to take you. So we're not like that when the Lord saves us. We're given this calves of the stall. We're brought into that position of having favoritism of God, touched by him, raised by him, fed by him, all these things. The scriptures tell us about the Lord Jesus not long before he was crucified. Over there in the book of Mark, would you turn there with me, the book of Mark, chapter 11? We read here in the book of Mark, chapter 11, a situation that the Lord on purpose shares with us. In Mark, chapter 11, verse 1. Mark, chapter 11, and verse 1, it says, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. And he saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. This is the command of the Lord." Now, on purpose, he goes to this place, and on purpose, he knows that that colt is tied there because he's determined, he's predestinated that colt to be there. And it says, "And if any man say unto you, Why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him thither." Send him hither. The Lord deals with all the situations there. He deals with that when it comes to our salvation. He has it all covered. All the bases are covered. Nothing is left to chance. The gospel is brought. God grants that wonderful blessing of regeneration. And then we have repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are turned from our old dead idols to look at the living and true God. That's what Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Everything we had it before before. That is a dead God. We had our dead works and our dead faith and our dead experiences. And everything is dead. But now he gives us life. We're calves of the stall. We're put into great favoritism. He's been caring for us. Just like a lamb born lost, yes. But he's caring for it. Wherever it is, he's caring for it. And then he says there in verse 4, "And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go." My goodness, what the Lord does, even from a distance, what he does in our salvation, he takes someone to come who knows something and preaches the gospel. Now, they took that colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. Now, most of you that are listening to me this this evening. Most of you know what it's like to see somebody, old Western movies, someone trying to get on an unbroke colt, someone trying to get on a horse that's unbroken. We got a party going on here. Men stand around and laugh when he's bucked off, and on it goes. Notice this. When the God of heaven, when the God of creation, when the God of sovereignty, when the God who is performing all his purpose, doing all things after the counsel of his own will, they spread their garments on this colt that was unbroken, and on him, and he sat upon him, the Lord Jesus. Now this colt became totally changed with the master. This colt became totally changed. All of his inherent nature was brought under control. Aren't you thankful for the restraining hand of God? Aren't you thankful for the restraining hand that God prevents his people from doing things that they would normally do? He protects us and prevents so much from happening. And the moment he raises his restraining hand, what are we doing? We're Moses's, we're David's, we're Abraham's. We're all the folks in the scripture that, oh, woe is me, I'm undone. So they spread their garments on this colt, and here we have him subduing that colt. Didn't buck. It didn't go through a dance. Crow hop. Didn't do any of that. It just walked off with the master on his back. And the same thing is brought out here with the regard to a man. Over in the book of Luke, would you turn there with me to the book of Luke? Made him a calf of the stall. Here's a man that's just a wild man. It's hard to imagine what this man's life was like. It's just hard to imagine. And the only way that we can imagine is to realize that what God is doing, what Christ is doing here, going to this man who lives in a cemetery and is just out of control, is to realize that that's what we are by nature, that we have such a evil spirit in us by the fall, wickedness in us by the fall, that we're just uncontrollable. Religion cannot control us. Oh, it may for a season. It may for a season, but it will not. It cannot control the heart. Over here in the book of Luke, chapter 19, chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city. Now, again, I just have to say this. The Lord's here on purpose. The Lord's here on purpose. The Lord must go through the country of the Gadarenes. There is a man there that he needs to have some visit with, that he needs to deal with, this man. The woman at the well, he must needs go through Samaria. And I am so thankful that in every one of God's people's lives, there's been that very thought has been given. He must needs go. The Lord was gracious to go through a town that I was living in called Central Point, Oregon. And he must needs go through Central Point, Oregon. He brought a man who knew the gospel and preached the gospel and only preached Christ and him crucified. And this man knew that salvation is of the Lord. And he knew that everybody is ruined by the fall. And he knew that all of God's people, those he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world, were redeemed by Christ. He's an actual redeemer. He redeemed his people. And this man knew that true life, true salvation, true peace with God comes through God, through regeneration by the Holy Spirit. So here we have that experience brought out here in this country of the Gadarenes. This man, he met him out of the city, a certain man which had devils long time and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Oh my, And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with you, with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for the oftentimes it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. We notice here just how uncontrollable natural man is, even religion, with the strongest of threatenings from Mount Sinai, the strongest threatenings of the law, the strongest threatenings of the Ten Commandments, the strongest threatenings of hell, the strongest threatenings of judgment by God, will not constrain the natural man. The heart is still deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And we're going to find out that the Lord takes care of the problem this man had. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that they should suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down into a steep place in the lake, and were choked. They drowned. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Now notice this. God and God alone can perform this kind of work. That's this kind of salvation. Natural man and religious salvation is just momentary. It doesn't last. You have to go to something else. You know, the drug addicts have shown us this very thing. You take a little, and then you need more, and then you need more, and you need more, and you need to trade to something else. And you need to, and that's the way it is in religion. You just need more, more works, and the works is not enough here. I'll go somewhere else, more circus and more show, and on it goes. Notice this man. When these folks came back, now they lost a lot of dollars. That's what they were concerned about. Swine. Wasn't even supposed to be raised there. But, he said here, they came back, the man that the devils were departed, notice this, verse 35, sitting at the feet of Jesus. This is a calf of the stall, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He'd been favored by grace. He'd been given grace. God had given him grace. Oh, this man was in a terrible condition. Family couldn't be around him. He couldn't be around his family. This man was in a terrible condition. And if we say for a moment that we don't have demons like this before the Lord saves us, we just don't know what salvation is. Our worship of our free will, the worship of our own works, the worship of all is just a demon in us. And here, he goes on, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and notices, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. To say they weren't afraid before, but they're afraid now. This man's calmed down. He's not going to kill them. He's not going to come after them. He's under control. The Lord controlled him. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Where do we sit? Where do we assemble? At the feet of Jesus. That's where we assemble. And we're clothed. We have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. We have his robe of righteousness. And we're in our right mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We have that mind of Christ given to us, that he is all our salvation and he's all our hope. And we're not depending upon anything else in this world. Wild stock are a menace to themselves and others. Tame stock are a blessing. The Lord declares that his people are going forth. They're growing up. They're calves of the stall. This, what a blessing it is to have these rich blessings of the Lord. Notice with me in the book of Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Let's go back over there in the book of Isaiah chapter 49. And notice there at verse chapter 49 of the book of Isaiah, and there in verse 9. Isaiah 49, verse 9. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Oh, to be calves of the stall, to be taken in and out to pasture, to have all the clean water to drink, all the food to eat. And it's just speaking about we've dining on our Savior, the Lord Jesus, dining upon his blessings, feasting upon the bread of life, drinking of the water of life, going in the door of life, the Lord Jesus. In the book of Isaiah chapter 55, would you go there with me? Isaiah chapter 55, and there in verse 12. Isaiah 55 and verse 12, let's read these last two verses of this chapter. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. What a joy it is to be around those who have been favored by grace, calves of the stall, contented, not angry, but contented, having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, ready to wait upon the Lord, to trust him. And then it goes on in verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. These beautiful trees, instead of having these negative things, having these positive things, these blessings, spiritual blessings as they're represented, there shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Hallelujah. We got the brand on us. The Lord's brand cannot be cut off. I will lose none. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. What a blessing it is to have this wonderful love of the Lord God Almighty given to us in Christ Jesus the Lord in regeneration, and to know, to have reverence for him. He is our God. Salvation is of the Lord. And then to see him as the rising sun with healing in his wings, to have him take care of all of our diseases, and then to realize that we've been raised as calves of the stall. In Jeremiah, it's another book over here, Jeremiah, again, filled with these rich blessings of the Lord, Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah 31, and there verse 9. Jeremiah 31 and verse 9. They shall come with weeping. Jeremiah 31 and verse 9. They shall come with weeping, with supplications. Will I lead them? I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, set. And say, he that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Oh, to be in the flock of the Lord Jesus, to have him as our shepherd, to bring us out of every nation. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Look at that. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Just look at the figurative language that's brought out here by this preacher, Jeremiah, this declarer of the gospel, Jeremiah, that all of these things, oh, for wheat and for wine, for oil and For the young of the flock and of the herd and thy soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow anymore. There's no need to run. We've got everything. We have everything. We have every spiritual blessing. We have all of the rich food of God. We have the bread of life, the Lord Jesus. We have the water of life. We have the sweet pastures. We have that word. And we have the prophets. And we have the kings. And we have the judges. We have all of this summed up in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness. Verse 14. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness. Oh, you see those calves coming out of the stall. They've been protected there. The rough weather didn't strike them there. The snow didn't strike them there. The folks that didn't like calves didn't find them there. On and on it goes. Well, such a blessing. And then would you turn over here in the New Testament, in the book of 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And there in verse 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, we are bound to give God, to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and your tribulations that ye endure. Oh, the Lord is so gracious. Calves of the stall, we have such a blessing that God would give us that picture, that type, that shadow, that his people are so cared for, so watched over. The God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't even close his eye while he's watching us. He keeps his eye on us. And over here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Peter, I apologize there, 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 18, it says, but grow in grace. Now we have all the grace, but we get to grow in it. We have all of the sanctification, but we get to grow in it. We get to find out more and more what we have. We find out that we have all the sanctification, all of the redemption, all of the peace. It's all given to us, but it's like someone that has a gold mine going in there and finding this nugget and that vein and that vein. You know, it's all ours. The gold mine belongs to us, but over time we get to discover more and more of what we have, and that's grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you see that? It doesn't say grow in doctrine, grow in articles of faith. It doesn't say that. Grow in all this other stuff, grow in works, no. Just grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All those other things, you know, most of the time, they take our time, they waste our time when we should be in the bread of life, the word of God. Now notice over here, going back to the book of Malachi chapter 4, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. What a blessing God has for each and every one of his lost sheep. when he comes to them, the gospel is brought. God in his miraculous way does the new birth, regeneration, draws us out, brings us out, calls us out of darkness to his marvelous light, brings us to him, gives us a new thought about God because we had a bad thought about him. We just couldn't put him in the right place, but with regeneration we can see God as he is, as the scriptures declare, and we're glad about that. We're satisfied about that, that God is God and beside him there is none else, and that he's a God that saves. He actually is a savior that saves his people, and he's actually a redeemer that redeems his people, and he actually has grace, that he's gracious to his people. And those calves of the stall, they're not ready to run everybody over the fence. They're at peace with God. They're at rest with God. They're satisfied with the blessings that God has given them. Well, we thank you for the time you've given us tonight to listen to this message from the book of Malachi, the gospel according to Malachi. And I pray that it will be a blessing to you to think about God's calves of the stall, that they are his, they're his calves, they will grow, and they have all these blessings. He has taken wild asses, colts, taken wild calves, and give them peace. Just like he did the maniac of Gadara. Those folks came back, they found, and they're afraid of a man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. God bless you, my friends.